Shalom and good morning. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. We have come to this far by the grace of God. The Discovery Bible Study, the Community Discovery Bible Study, where we discover the Bible as a community of people. We have come to the book, to the end of the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. And this is, in this chapter, we want to really look at from verses 11 all the way to verses 18. But we want to compare this session and the previous session, where we looked at the motivation of those who walk in the path of grace. What makes them move in the path of grace? Why should they move in that path of grace? And particularly, it will be doing good. It will be helping each other. It will be carrying each other's burdens. We have already looked at Paul challenging these people, especially from verses 1. If I compare from there, chapter 6, verse 1, we did this, but let's just compare. We looked at the motivation, and Paul was challenging them to do good to all, to everybody. They have a motivation of doing good as they walk in this path. They have a responsibility to do good. We discovered that evil prevail. The evil of people moving from the path of grace to the path of law and flesh comes when good people do nothing. This is what Mark Twain had said, that evil prevails when good people do nothing. When good people are silent. And so Paul here challenges them to do good. In fact, he said, should you see someone that is of your group and is wandering from the path and you do something, be motivated to respond. Don't just stop. If you see somebody who is erring, you do something, help them, because you follow the spirit of truth. They are sinning, move and help them not to continue or progress in that path. You make that person to turn right again, but then you do it in a gentle way, but also do it being careful that you might not be tempted to sin too. You help each other in those troubles. Make sure that you or I, or your motivation is to help others in their troubles. And if this is the basis of the community of faith, people will be able to move well. And Paul says, if you do that, you are obeying the law of Christ, which is the law of love. Then don't think that you're important, because if you do so, you're fooling yourself. Also, don't compare your grace with the grace of others. As you do good, as you help, don't compare. Graces are different. God has graced us differently. You are who you are, and you are wired to do something. So do it. Just look at your own work to see if you have done it, to be proud of it. So whatever you do, check your motivation. Are you doing it for proud sake, or you're doing it because God has asked you to do it? Are you doing it so that God can be praised, or whether you can be praised? Are you doing it, or am I doing it so that I can get praise, or whether people can be helped, or God can be glorified? And I think this is where we got to summarize, that we do whatever we do it for four motivations. Motivation number one is that we do it so that God can be glorified. It is for the glory of God. We do it for the glory of God. Number two, we do whatever we are doing it for the good of the people. This is the second motivation. This is second biblical or godly theological motivation, for the good of others, so that others will be helped. Number three, we do it for our growth, that whatever we do, we will be better people. We will say that we thank God that whatever I did this and I am a better person, I have grown. And number four, we do it so that we could ground all the sinful attitudes. We could ground all the sin, even in ourselves. We could mortify the sin and we could complete and bring it down. So Paul says, not only doing good to those that are on the path, also do good to your teachers. Those who taught you the word, share whatever you have with them. And don't get tired of doing good. Keep planting. Doing good is a planting and it's a seed that you plant. And don't get tired. Be satisfied by doing what you do good. And that is a planting. And if you plant that, I tell you, you are going to harvest eternal life. But if you do evil, you plant everlasting punishment. And so don't give up in doing all good, and especially to everyone, and more so to those who belong to the family of faith. So Paul conclude these, especially from verse 11, and say, see my hard lighting. I have written this letter with big letters. Probably Paul, we said he had a problem of eye. And so he says, look, it is me who have written these. Maybe when Paul was stoned at Lystra, in Galatia, I think in the second missionary journey, was it first missionary journey? Yeah, the first missionary journey, his eyes could have been destroyed. And even when he lost again because he was left for dead, his eyes could have been left with a problem. And so he said, and that's why he said when he came, these people could have given him their own eye. So he now exposes the motivation of those people who are mutilators. After looking at the motivation of the people who are walking, then he says, let's look at the motivation of those people who are against you. Then he says, those men who are trying to force you to be circumcised are doing so that their people will accept them. So he gave four motivations about the people who are mutilators, those people who are forcing you to be circumcised. You know, those people would come to the men of God, to the community of faith, those Gentiles who are walking on the path of grace, and they would tell them, you know, you are following our Jesus now. Good. You are following our Messiah. Good. So you need to follow our way of life. But that's not right. And one of the way of life is that you must be circumcised. If you claim to follow our Jesus, to follow our way of life, to follow our salvation, you must follow everything. And they were managing to convince many Gentiles to move and first become a Jew, which was very wrong. And one of the way was to be circumcised. So Paul exposed and said, these people, they're forcing you to be circumcised. You know why? Because they want people to accept them. Very wrong idea of these people. So Paul exposes them that the reason why they are forcing you to be circumcised is that they may be accepted. Number two, these mutilators, they are afraid they will be persecuted if they follow the cross of Jesus only. So number two is that, look, they're seeking for acceptance, but number two, they are full of fear. They're afraid that if they follow Jesus Christ alone, they will be persecuted. That's why they are forcing you to do that. Number three, they are circumcised, but they don't follow or they don't obey the law themselves. Number three is that though they force you to follow the law, they themselves are not able. Actually, they don't follow the law. So they are hypocrites, number three. And number four, they want you to be circumcised so that they can boast about what they did to you. So number four is that they want the praises of people. Do you see what bad attitude these people are having? And we need to really be able to identify the motivation of all these people. Why do people do what they do? Do they want praises for the work they do? Is it that they are hypocrite? They themselves don't do it, but they want you to do it. Is it that they are afraid of doing the right thing, actually to be persecuted? Or is it that they want people to accept them? Then Paul finally concluded by his own motivation. What a good author. He says, I hope I'll never boast about things like that. So he talked about now himself. Now look at myself. I'll never boast about, you know, such things. That the cross of Jesus Christ is my only reason for boasting. So Paul says, my only reason for boasting is Jesus Christ. Not for other people. Not to let people, you know, not be afraid of persecution, of the of people who can persecute me. That will not be my motivation. My motivation is the cross. Not for people to accept me. You know, not because of hypocrisy or not for people to speak well about me, but for I'll boast for the reason of the cross only. Then he said, why? Because through Jesus Christ on the cross, which I can boast about, the world is dead to me and I'm dead to the world. So I want you to see that Paul is saying that what has made him to be separated, to be dead from the world and for the world to be dead to him is the cross. That is, the cross is between him and the world. The cross, the world cannot reach him before it reaches the cross. He cannot reach the world before going through the cross. What a good way of looking at yourself. Is the cross our mediator? Are we dead to the world through the cross and the world is dead to us through the cross? And then he says it doesn't matter if anyone is circumcised or not. The only thing that matters is that this new life we have found in God, the new life through the cross. Then he says, peace and mercy to those who follow this rule and to all God's people. So don't give me any trouble. This is a final statement. Why? I have scars on my body that I show I belong to Jesus. This cross of Jesus, I've received scars. Even my eye has a scar right now because of the cross of Jesus. Don't give me any more trouble. My brothers and sisters, pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with your spirits. Amen. So Paul concludes by saying that I boast only because of the cross. I do not boast like other people boast. I do it, whatever I do it for the glory of God, for Jesus. Whatever I do, and this is about the cross, I do it for the good of other people. I do good to other people and for the good of other people. All the people, and especially to those that belongs to the family of faith. I do it so that I may continue to grow through the cross. I may continue to increase through the cross. I do it so that I may grow out all the sinful work. I may ground the satanic work. I may ground the world. I may make sure that the world is grounded by through the cross of Jesus Christ. God, we worship you. We pray that we may have the right motivation in whatever we do, that we do it just because of you. And as we do for others, that their lives will be better and they will know you. Do it that, Lord, that you'll be a better people. You may grow to know you better and may be ground the works of the world, the works of Satan, the works of flesh, and the works of the systems of this world. In Jesus' name, amen.